I want to help you, you know, very specifically with this, whether that is through these Wednesday nights and going through this content, or whether it's more personal, text, email, but that it's not just, you know, that you're attending Sunday morning, being engaged with Sunday morning, but that, you know, I myself take this really seriously, God's call on my life. And I want to help you, and so does Rebecca. And Rebecca has mentored and discipled a lot of other people. But that this is all always about us getting to next steps in Jesus. It's not like I'm trying to hand feed you or put myself over you or any of those kind of things. It's very much relational. It's very much us coming together and saying, we want to learn more about Jesus, right? And helping you by taking the time to ask yourself some of the questions that are here, take next steps in your own life and in your own calling to lead other people in next steps in Jesus. And so even if it's, you know, TJ and Elizabeth are about to move to Central Florida, you know, we believe that God's got the jobs prepared, and that also means the co-workers and neighbors prepared that they can serve and that they can influence. And, you know, some of us have made recent job changes and things that, and neighborhood changes, right? That can mean that God has people prepared for you to serve, for you to help lead them in next steps. Sound good? So tonight, I'm gonna talk for a little bit at first, because of the nature of this chapter, read a couple sentences, and then we'll have some questions, and then we will finish with just kind of giving you a little bit of prayer time at the end, okay? So, in the text, Francis mentions the first couple of verses of 1 Corinthians 13, and so I'd just like to read those to you to help you. Now, what we're talking about here is the heart of a discipler. In other words, what's your motive? Why would you want to disciple or lead other people into next steps in Jesus? What's your heart motive? So Paul writes to the believers in Corinth, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." Love is the point. I mean, it's all about Jesus, but even in our recent taking time to consider Jesus' words to love God with all you have and love others, love is the point. And you might just be starting to think that we're just going to change the name of the church to love. But love is the point. And there's nothing quite like obeying Jesus' call to disciple other peoples to expose where your motives are wrong. And sometimes it's the results, whether it's success or failures, that will test, that will reflect to you if your motives are wrong. So if there's any hint in us of wanting to manipulate people, well, that's not love. Of lording over people or telling people how they need to live, well, that comes from a selfish motive, right? And when you come with a love motive, it's much easier to understand and believe that the results are up to God, right? That those life decisions are between that person and God. Does that make sense? And it's a little bit easier to be relaxed about it and not be so wound up about it. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't care deeply, but it does mean that if it's not going the way that you hope it would go, you can't flesh out, as I like to say, or get all frustrated and verbally browbeat the person, right? I say this carefully, but in my experience, I have found that I want change for people more than it seems like they do. And whether or not I love the person has a lot to do with how I relate to them and how I might endeavor to lead them into that next step with Jesus. I think that's important for us to realize. So we're asked in the book, and I didn't think it's necessarily a discussion question, are you willing to make loving God and loving others your highest priority? I mean, that's really the heart of this command of Jesus to us. And I don't think you should just answer that, check the box off too quickly tonight. I want you to think about that, really internalize it. Am I willing to make loving God and loving others my highest priority? I've got a job, I've got to pay the bills, I've got a life. Who gives you life? Right? Who is your real provider? Is a Head Start? Is, you know, Baltimore City? Is Johns Hopkins? Is who is your real provider? Right? God is your real provider. It is God who gives us the power to earn wealth. If God is your real provider, and I'm, like we've been talking about, turning myself back into Jesus and John 15, remaining in Him, then it becomes easier to let go of the other stuff and then hold it appropriately, right? And find myself in a place of, yes, loving God and loving others is my highest priority. Does that make sense? But that's the place that we've got to come to if we have any hope, any prayer of having the right motive and really loving people in this discipleship thing. It's worth a timeout, right? It's worth stopping like this and carving out some time on a summer evening to just stop and consider. It is in the essence of all of Scripture. And yet it's so easy to not have an appropriate amount of our care. Right? And, you know, as I constantly remind us, you know, that's where we need to be. It's not about trying harder. Right? It really isn't. The chapter here references 1 Samuel 16:7. God looks on the heart. God sees your motives. God knows why you came tonight. He knows why you go to church. He knows why you call yourself a believer. He knows why you would reach out to someone else, like we've discussed before. God looks on your heart. And I think it's really healthy for us from time to time to have a checkpoint. I have like scheduled checkpoints for me to ask myself some questions. I found that I need it. You might not need it. I find that I need it. And asking yourself things like, do I find that I need my actions, my good actions, to be noticed by other people? Do I find that if I'm going to continue to serve God and do, you know, XYZ, whatever it is that you're doing as an outward expression of your serving God, do I find that I need compliments? I need that for that to be noticed. Affirmation is a good thing. I think it's a God-given thing for us to encourage each other and for that to be meaningful. I'm not taking away from that, right? But how wrapped up is it in your motive? How wrapped up is it in your priorities? Does that make sense? I think it's healthy for us to kind of have a checkpoint, and changing the oil in the car and checking it out. So the other question that was asked here that I think is not really a discussion question, but a good one to ask is, are you the type of person who would teach someone without loving them? I mean, I find that surprisingly easy. especially as time goes on, and you make a commitment out of a good motive, right? And you're there and you're doing the activity that as time goes by, if I'm not regularly getting my spirit in the right place, my heart in the right place, communicating with God, listening to God, if I'm not regularly doing those things, then I find that that can kind of slip away. And that you're just doing the teaching, but you're not loving. So let's have a little bit of a reminder. I'm going to read from page 44. Let's see if she wants the chair, too. Might help. So just in talking about the heart and what's going on, a couple sentences in on page 44. Ultimately, it's all about being faithful to God's call to love the people around you. It's about loving those people enough to help them see their need to love and obey God. It's about bringing them to the Savior and allowing Him to set them free from the power of sin and death and transform them into loving followers of Jesus Christ. It's about glorifying God by obediently making disciples who will teach others to love and obey God. So, it's healthy to take some time to consider your existing relationships, the relationships you already have. The way that you think about and interact with the people that God has placed in your life can tell you a lot about what's in your heart. I really wish you hadn't written that sentence. But it's true, right? Let me read that again. The way that you think about and interact with the people that God has placed in your life can tell you a lot about your heart. Think about your relationships and ask yourself how well you love those around you. By assessing your current relationships, you should be able to identify areas you need to work on. So, describe your love for the people God has placed in your life. What evidence can you point to that shows that you love the people around you? So this is kind of serious and sober so far. last time we did this where instead of answering just for yourself, we, as a way of encouraging, answered for somebody else. So let's try that. So what evidence do you see, maybe someone else here in the room, what evidence do you see in their life that they love people that are in their life? Can we try that? Yes. So I'm turning question 4 from page 45 into a question about somebody else here in the room. What are evidences that you see in their life that they love the people around them? And if you can be specific or tell a story, I think that's fun. You don't have to, but it can be simple, can be just a couple of words.
My mother... loves people. My mother and my father both love people and they are examples for me. Because I don't know what's going through their head, but what it looks like for me is when they come to people and it's not a shove it down your throat. Mm. It's not I gotta do this to keep my salvation or anything like that. It's about you and I'm gonna help you. I remember one time when we were at Walmart and this woman, she was standing outside and she was, I think she was asking people for money or something. And my mother came to her and they just talked to her and she was my friends would say she was ratchet, but I don't use that. She was funny. She wasn't a person that not too many people would be very fond of. And then what really like showed my mother's love is she kissed my mother. And she was like, oh, I love you, girl. I was like, wow. But he was just smoking up a storm and all that. And I was staring. I was like, wow, mommy. And I was like, wow. And even in my father, can't think of an example right now. But, my father will talk to anybody. And it's no... It's no facade, it's no picture, it's no, okay, this person's this way. Gotta deal with this person again. Because, you know, people be on the street, they be high on heroin or whatever they want, and they just be so out of it. And the faith is that through this demon, that the word of God would be spoken to their heart, even if their physical ears don't hear it. And I think faith, you know, that overcomes and just the love of the person, regardless of how they look or how they act. That's just my example.
That's good. That's really good.
I would say the time that he spends, like, to really, like, hear what God has to say about people, like, particularly our families, but other, you know, friends and stuff, too, but I know for our families, or even, they're my brothers and sisters, but, you know, but I just, like, that's awesome. You know, like, even if it's late at night, you know, like, I mean, like, really late, like, the AMs, you know, he'll just put on the music and then sit in his rocket. He likes to rock. So. Extra info.
Femi rocks.
Yeah, he's a rocker. And he'll just listen and just wait in the Lord to, like, really, like, where their hearts are. I don't know where they are, but then he'll just go and just, you know, where I would be slack and just, like, I'm tired. You know, like, he'll actually go before the Lord. I'm like, oh, it's kind of, it's inspiring, and, you know. And then, there's, like, it's sidebar. My brother, sometimes he can have complicated thoughts or, you know, just, I guess many people do, about God and existence. So one of my brothers in particular, Femi spent, like, hours going through, and he enjoyed, you know, my brother's into that stuff too, so, like talking, like, through different questions. Well, why is there pain in this world? Why is this? Why is that? And I just think that, and he had the answers where my brother actually prayed. He's like, well, I prayed after having the conversation, you know, like, where he no longer denies God's existence, you know, like, in the Lord and all this kind of stuff. So, it's just awesome to me. So, I just feel like, just, I don't know, just
that's
like
good.
Walking in grace. Yeah,
that's evidence, yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
That's awesome. Anyone else want to jump in?
I think Joe is a very good example of how he loves people, because he's clearly an extrovert. And I think that he just likes to be around people, and it doesn't matter really who the person is, but he likes to share, like, just the joy for life that he has, and it's very evident, like, even posting to Facebook all the time, like, he's just stoked about everything. And I think that comes across really clearly, and by just how positive he is, it's, you know, effective. But I don't know what I'm looking for, but, like, everybody catches it, and everybody is inspired by that, I feel like, and it's just very simple that no matter what the circumstances, he's always, like, very positive, and so maybe a love may not be a love, but he's just very positive, and it comes across as caring for everybody that's around him.
That's good.
No, he's an awesome actor.
Yeah. He's my salesman.
It's all a big love.
That's good. I think if you get to a point where you're concerned about how you're doing in certain relationships, it's helpful to not just, oh, I'm going to be a Christian and just sweep that thought under the carpet. Yeah, self-control is good, but it is also good to use the brain that God gave you. Sit down and think with some common sense. Is there evidence of this in my life? If the enemy or insecurity is bringing to you this fear of, I don't think I love people, or I'm not doing good enough, well, fight it, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. Sit down, get a pen and paper in your Bible, and say, what evidence is there in, let's just use loving people as our example, right? What evidence is there in my life that I'm loving on people? And go basic, just like we just heard, go basic and write those things down, and then pull out what the Bible has to say about you and use those evidences to fight off those thoughts and those feelings. That was really good. No, I seriously, I want you to, like, have something to walk away from that's concrete, that you can do something. Because I can't be the only one in here who has ever felt insecure about how you're doing in this area. Right? Right? Now, it's how do we grow and how do we improve? Yes, prayer. Yes, claiming the promises of God. Yes, choosing to not think about the negative. Yes, all of those things. Think about those things that are, right? But a part of that is, hey, let's take it out of the realm of emotion and out of the realm of letting maybe your enemy mess with your head and sit down and put pen to paper and think about it logically and use common sense. When you're doing that, that's not setting yourself up to be God. That's using the brain that God gave you. And then take it to Scripture and then write down what you need to do to take one next step to improve. Make sense? So, on that note, one of the things that's lightly referred to in the chapter that I think is the most important to do for improving your love for people is prayer. There's no question. Whether it is someone that you don't yet know, you're moving to a new place, or it's someone that you've known for a long time. This week, you know, Ron and Lisa, 25 years of marriage. Rebecca and I are coming up on 17. You know, somebody that you've known for a long time. Whether it's somebody that's challenging at work, praying for that person will help you grow in love. Even crazy neighbor man. Even, you know, what are the stories that we've shared, right? Praying for them works, right? And I don't mean, you know, walking up to them on the side of the street and laying your hand on their head and then trying to give them a push so they'll have, you know, I mean, in your quiet time, right? Femi rocks. So in the rocking chair. And one thing that I thought I heard from what you're saying is even praying after you've had a conversation with them. Everything is still fresh on your mind. Praying before, during, and after. I find it helpful to think about different categories of things that you want to pray about and spread them out over the week so that you're not just guilty that you're not doing any of it. Does that make any sense? I pray for all of you. I don't know that I pray for all of you by name every day of the week, because sometimes I just get worn out, right? It's like, because I'm a, personally, like, at least an hour a day, you know, kind of a thing. And but when you have people in your life, and all of us have, really, when you think about it, a lot of people in our lives, and if you are efforting to try to disciple someone else, you really got to know if you love them or not. And maybe you have people in your life that need discipling, but their relationship is nowhere. Maybe God's waiting for you to pray for them, to see that you love them, before he's going to open up the door of opportunity for you to disciple them. God created them, right? God loves them. If God loves them, he wants them to be discipled by someone else who loves them. Does this make sense? So don't walk away from tonight feeling guilty or powerless about, like, I don't love people enough. No, 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 no. If you're feeling like, I don't love that person, let's just get real. I don't love them. Or I need to grow in my love for them. Prayer is the number one, the easiest, at least in my life, the easiest way to grow in that respect. I had a relationship with someone that... in the end, I was discipling that was, I actually saw this person this past weekend, frustrating the tar out of me. Really frustrated. And I realized I wasn't praying for them. And so one day I just stopped and I prayed for them. And clear as a bell, I heard God say, you take care of this, this, and this, and I'll take care of that, that, and that. I had freedom. All of a sudden, complete freedom about my relationship with them, and I had more love for that person. And then I found what had gone from a real grating kind of relationship that I was worried was going to turn confrontational. That week, that relationship was different. And I'm convinced that one reason that relationship is good today is because I prayed for him. That one time. And I don't know that I've spent hours and hours praying for that individual, but I know that that one time I just prayed, and I started with a wrong motive. I was frustrated. But God helped me in my bad motives. You know, that's okay. You kind of, God loves you. He cares for you like a parent does his child. God knows. He recognizes when you're coming with bad motives, and he's big enough to handle it. But praying for that person will help you immensely in loving them. Anyone found this to be true?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Anyone else? I mean, this is very, very much true. I really would encourage you. And don't start with everyone in your life. I mean, don't set yourself up for failure. Start with one person, you know, later on tonight before you go to sleep. Pray for one person. And it's okay to pray to ask God to give you more love for them. Stop trying to love them out of your love. Ask God to give you His love for them. Sometimes relationships are really difficult because of the water under the bridge, right? The past, what's happened. And you've run out of love. But you can, if God loves that person, He can give you a part of His love for them. And how many of you know that will help, right? That will grow your love for them, your care for them, and then you're coming to them out of a right motive and out of love and out of compassion, and they will read it in who you are more than what you say. People get who you are more than what you say. All the time. All the time. And so we've talked about this a couple times. I just want to remind you, discipleship is not about content delivery. It's not a program at the church. It's not a class. It's not a book. It's not certain scriptures. It's relationship. The context from Jesus being aware of what was going on before God created the world, John 1:1, all the way through where we are today, it has always been the context of relationship. God's love. And so I hope that helps you to not feel insecure about this and to feel encouraged that it's possible. I want to encourage you specifically, when you pray for other people, pray with patience. Right, think about Luke 11, Jesus' friends, followers ask him, how shall we pray? He gives them the Lord's Prayer, and then immediately after the Lord's Prayer, he tells a story about persistence, about not giving up. He wants us to pray without giving up, right? Pray for that person without giving up on them. Without giving up on taking them before God. It's okay to ask God to change them. I do it all the time. Some of you are wondering, I wonder what he prayed. Ask God to bring change in their lives. I hope you don't find this to be weird, but encouraging. I love you enough that I also pray for change in your lives. I do. For the good. Right? Pray for that person that God will bring about change in their life. But pray with patience. Pray with a perspective about what God has for them. But also pray with specifics. And pray for things that are beyond your reach. Right? Does that make sense? Pray for big things. It's God you're talking to. But do pray with specifics. God, help them to see the error of their ways and come to salvation. Today. Right? Now, I actually prayed that prayer today about a particular person that they would walk through the door tonight during our meeting and get saved. Now, if that doesn't happen tonight, if it does happen, y'all gonna go, whoa! If it doesn't happen tonight, I'm gonna find a new specific thing to pray. It keeps me more interested. It keeps me... Pray with specifics. We had to buy tires this past weekend, which I've been putting off for a long time, been limping along with used tires. I had to buy a whole new set of four tires, long story short. And immediately, God, out of the clear blue, through someone, gave us half the cost of the tires. Well, I've been praying for that. Bam! Pray with specifics. When you pray for the people in your life, pray with specifics. And definitely you want to pray before you effort or start to try to lead them. You will find out real quick if it's dry, if it's not going anywhere, if it's just your agenda, your thoughts. Pray for them before you try to open the door. Okay, so we're going to go to the questions. So I thought why don't we go ahead and do our halftime timeout for the cobbler and ice cream. Is that okay? All right.
Praying harder to love people, spend more time with God. Yeah, just commune with God and reading my Bible and not just praying but meditating, reflecting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's real good. So reading your Bible and meditating on it. taking in and soaking up. That's good. Yep.
You could ask a person what you could do to help them feel more loved or taken care of.
Yeah.
Or helped.
Yeah. That's good. Just asking them what you can do.
Even on scheduled time to think about, like, schedule time in your day to, like, Pam and actually think about who's in my life, what their needs might be, like, you know, like, taking time, setting time aside, actually, like, think about even practical things you can pray about them for.
Yeah.
Just even keeping them on your mind.
That's good. Maybe even a lunch break. That's good.
That's huge time.
Mm-hmm.
Just take a time to either think about them and just listen. Take time to listen to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Invite them to something that you're doing.
That's good. Yeah.
Like, you know, have the cookout or
mm-hmm.
a telescope. Invite them. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. You might be surprised what some people will... You might have an activity in your life that you like doing, and you might be surprised by some of the people that absolutely want to do that.
Yes.
Wow.
Or if they can't, they might throw out their own suggestion. Yeah. I mean, you never know.
Yeah. You had to tell
everyone. That happened to us last night. My neighbor is not a good relationship. But I was looking at the moon with my telescope. I like doing stuff like that. Yeah. So he came up, and I invited him to look. Well, he looked, and plus he put up this thing on his iPhone.
Where
you can see the stars and stuff like that, and it tells where they are, what they are, and everything. And it opened the relationship, because I'm telling you, there's some things there. But it was very peaceful. It was very loving. And he even said, I got a telescope. He said, when I pull that out, I'm going to invite you over. You and Daniel, so y'all can see.
That's good.
I came in, I told him, I said, he's flying. I'm telling you.
That was a teary eye. It really was.
That was a breakthrough, big breakthrough. I thank God so much. But, you know, in my thinking, I couldn't think of anything to bring, you know, peace. You know, or togetherness to us, but God brought something without me even knowing, not even planning. I mean, God just got to happen just like that. I'm telling you, it's amazing.
That's great. That really is cool. Anyone else? Those are really good suggestions. Make time to think about what you can do. Ask them. Make time to listen. Invite them to what you're doing. Yeah, Daniel?
When you say that, it doesn't settle well, because I think you have to go back to what we talked about earlier. It's all about your priorities and your heart. So, I mean, we could always have it somewhere written down when we look at it and we read, make some time for somebody else, but it won't be coming from your heart. So, my suggestion would really be to just sit down and examine the heart and pray for the heart of yourself.
Yeah. So yeah, absolutely.
Be within you and not just a job.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I really appreciate this whole thing, because God is using everybody's comments and just the whole discussion to cause me to stop and just listen, even to where I am, not necessarily being in the right place, but just listen to my heart, what's really going on. And I appreciate this is good. So
good.
Yeah, because I know Ronald doesn't know it, but when he called me to come look at the moon with him, I'm very task oriented. So if I'm into something, I'm like, so it's okay. But that little moment was like, wow. And it showed me, God, I'm stubborn. And I am so stubborn. But when I'm into something, I am into it, seriously. And But I thank God for reminding me where I really am.
That's good.
Oh, I appreciate this. This is good.
That's good. Those are great suggestions. Anyone have something else before we move on? Okay, that's good. So, as the chapter starts to wrap up, he starts to talk about further defining, I guess, further describing what this being a disciple is. And he talks about it in the terms of allowing God the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus, who Jesus is, and specifically Scripture, God's Word, to be changing us, right? Continually, not just the one time, but to be bringing change into our lives. And he asks the question, would you say that your life is being changed by God's Word? And I thought that was just a deepening of questions we've already discussed in the last couple weeks. But again, like we said earlier tonight, it is good to have personal checkpoints and to set personal checkpoints. Am I being changed by the Word of God, by who God is? And then also, as you are evaluating or praying for or considering who you might disciple and your love for them, it is also good to kind of ask that question of, are they being changed by the Word of God? Now, particularly the people that God has quite obviously put in your life, like the other people that are in this room. You know, when you're praying for them, you can know how to pray if you're kind of considering that. That's something that you want to do carefully. You don't want to create unnecessary arguments, etc. It doesn't mean that you're bringing up everything that you might perceive, but maybe God would put it on your heart to help pray for them and help pray for change in their life. Question number 7 here, our last one before we spend a few moments in prayer. What changes do you need to make in order to live the truths that you will be teaching other people? So towards the end of the chapter, he was talking about hypocrisy and not entering into, you know, leading other people if you're just at a place where you're not being changed by God at all. And I don't think we have anyone in this room tonight that's in that place. But in that context is where this question comes from. What changes do you need to make personally in order to live the truths that you will be teaching other people? And I would just encourage you, as you ask yourself this question, to remember that God's just asking you to be one step ahead of the person that you're leading. Okay? God's not asking for you to be perfect here and now in this moment. But he is asking you to seek growth, right? And that does involve, what next steps do I need to be taking? Am I allowing God's Word to be changing me? What changes do I need to make in order to be living that truth? And so I would definitely encourage you to, whether it's someone else in this room, someone in our church, but invite someone else into your life to pray for you and to encourage you in those areas. In my experience, isolation is very dangerous. You know what I mean? Living too alone. I mean, to a certain degree, you need to be comfortable being by yourself with you and Jesus. You know, is Jesus enough? But at the same time, if it's especially at times where the Holy Spirit may be placing a finger on a certain area of your life that you need to grow in, being too private about that is really counterproductive. And I find the enemy can even use it to cause you to feel worse about yourself instead of actually growing. And so I would invite you to welcome somebody else into your life and to say, hey, I could use some encouragement. I could use some love. I could use some prayer. And as you know, as long as that relationship is constructive, you know, being, you know, helping each other in those ways, because we really can. And a lot of times it can be very short conversations where you can get a lot of encouragement out of. And if you look around this room, a lot of us have known each other for now an extended period of time. And so if someone else gives you a compliment, it's going to mean something, right? Because they've been around you for a while and they kind of know where you're at, where your head's at, and what's going on. And encouraging each other is just so essential. It's so essential. But I think it's a good suggestion. So we want to do a couple things in prayer before we close tonight. I'll just read question 8, and it will give us an opportunity to have a little bit of quiet time with the Lord. The things you've been thinking through in this session are not easy to address. There are no, quote, quick fixes here. End your time with this session by praying that God will give you the proper motivation to make disciples. Increase your love for Him and the people around you, and empower you to live out the truths that He has called you to teach others.